Meet the Christ of the longevity movement, Brian Johnson.
My competitor is Jesus.
This is the tech billionaire who uses his money to do stuff like compare nighttime erections with his teenage son.
I always played the inverse with my kids, like the exact opposite. And they always thought it was such a fun game. And so boners are kind of like that.
He's also injected himself with his son's blood plasma. He also did electric shock therapy on his penis. It's all a part of his mission to defeat death with science, embodied in his don't die philosophy.
I'm trying to make don't die into the world's most influential ideology.
After reading Johnson's manifesto, yeah, he has a manifesto, I think this is all way deeper and darker than your average wellness grift. While Johnson presents himself as this philosopher who wants to save humanity via longevity science, his ideas are actually super anti-human and honestly pretty nihilistic. Okay, today I'm going to show you why Johnson's philosophy of longevity is as dangerous as it is just straight up dumb. In Johnson's manifesto, he asks, what if I could improve myself at the speed that technology improves? What if we all could? What if decay and decline were not inevitable? He wants to use superintelligence to automate our health, body, and mind to accelerate humanity's rate of progress. One writer who went and met Johnson at a convention describes it like this. The purpose of Blueprint is to remove the possibility of error by outsourcing all decision-making to a customized algorithm. A slide projected onto the auditorium's screen reads, never let your mind decide. Now, to me, this honestly sounds like not wanting to exist, because according to lots of philosophers, I'll talk about this in a second, existence is about deciding. Existence is about using your rational faculties to make decisions about what to do with your life. And in trying to ignore that, you're basically trying not to exist and not be a human. Johnson's algorithm and his whole brand is oriented around a game that he calls Don't Die. So every decision made by this algorithm has only one aim, which is the avoidance of death. In his manifesto, he writes, my mind does not have the authority to order from a menu, eat a gallon of ice cream because it's nighttime, or peruse the pantry because I'm bored. My body's organs and biological processes oversee the whole thing, not my mind. The guy doesn't let himself eat ice cream or look at a menu because the algorithm says that he can't. Sounds unfun. This guy literally argues that we should hand over the reins of power of our mind to the algorithm. You know, for him, humanity and cognition have just reached their limits, so now we need the algorithm to take over for us. In his manifesto, he paraphrases Socrates in a way that really makes me want to force feed him ice cream. He writes, zeroism is the intelligence of not knowing, embracing what we do not know, what we cannot see, and acting courageously nonetheless. So basically, this algorithm is our new god, and we should submit to it out of the fear of death, or not dying, or living forever, or something, or comparing penises with our son. I don't know. I don't have a son, so I'm not going to compare penises with him. Even if I had a son, I wouldn't compare penises with him. That's weird. If my dad ever said, let's compare boners, I would say, no, Dad. Also, why don't you tell me you love me? Tell me you love me first, and then we can talk about our penises, Dad. Just kidding. He's dead. Okay, I want to take a second to talk about this video sponsor, Aura. Now, while we probably can't live forever, our data can, which is absolutely terrifying. Bank of America recently had a massive data breach, and they kept it secret for months. And this is not the exception. Companies on average take 277 days to report a breach. Meaning, if your data was exposed months ago, well, you're probably just going to hear about it now. And I've been on the wrong side of this before. You know, I've got the email saying that my data has been exposed in a breach, and then I just have to sit around anxiously wondering if someone's going to use my data to sign up for a credit card to buy jet skis, which is why I am so glad that I found out about Aura. Because they let me know if my phone number, my email address, my social security number end up on the dark web. And if someone uses that information to try to access my accounts, Aura alerts me. And if the worst case scenario ever happens, they guarantee $5 million in identity theft insurance. Their app also has a bunch of other safety features, which makes me feel really good as someone that continues to spend just way too much time on the internet. Now, if you head to my link, aura.com/Michael Burns, you can try Aura for 14 days for free. This will give Aura enough time to see if any of your data has been exposed. And if so, you're going to learn about it before the companies are forced to notify you. Because if your data is exposed, the best you're going to get is free credit monitoring from the company that breached your data in the first place. It's like getting food poisoning from bad fish at Red Lobster. And then to say sorry, they give you a gift card to Red Lobster, which is a thing that really happened to me. Guys, I understand the temptation to be a data nihilist because, you know, if everyone's data is already breached, well, then who cares, right? But being a victim of fraud is no joke. And if you're lucky enough to have stayed safe thus far, why not let all Aura do the heavy lifting for you. I feel way safer just knowing that it's on my phone. I know that you will too. So head over to Aura.com/Michael Burns for 2 weeks free. Thank you so much to Aura for sponsoring this video. But right now, let's get back to breaking down the philosophy of longevity. You know, in an interview, he says that the human mind should be demoted from nearly every area of authority. Again, human mind, bad. Algorithm, good. And if you're like me, you might be thinking, like, what is the point of all this? What is the ultimate end game here? Johnson writes, "Don't die is the ultimate game to play. Existence is the highest virtue. The concept of God is a zero, an idea to explain what we do not and cannot know. We are all zero, and our existence could be that which we cannot imagine." So the highest virtue is existence, and God is zero, and we're zero as well. Oh boy. Now, while this BS might strike some as compelling techno-futurist philosophy, it's completely empty. Because he doesn't tell us why we should want to live forever, other than the fact that, like, death is bad, so we should want to don't die. Okay, so we might now want to ask, well, what is the meaning of life or the purpose of existence? And why can't Johnson imagine it being anything other than injecting his penis with Botox while he hangs out in a hyperbaric chamber? Also, it's not lost on me that a guy with the last name Johnson is really obsessed with his penis. Now, Johnson should be able to answer these questions about the meaning of existence because he is a self-described student of philosophers like Plato. Plato and Socrates were focused on the question of what the purpose of our existence is. In Plato's dialogue, Crito, Socrates says that it is not life, but a good life that is to be chiefly valued. He adds to this that a good life is a just and honorable one. So for Plato and Socrates, the point of life isn't not dying. The point of life is to seek after goodness, virtue, and justice. It's worth noting in this dialogue, Socrates is on the verge of getting murked by the state, and he would basically rather die and live for truth than live and run away from his ideals. Basically, truth is more important than just surviving. While Johnson wants to outsource our rationality to an algorithm, for the Greeks, our ability to think is an essential part of our soul. You know, it's what makes our humanity important. It's been said that Johnson's approach to health epitomizes what Frankfurt School philosopher Max Horkheimer called instrumental rationality. Now, this is a form of reason that doesn't ask why, only how. It prioritizes efficiency over meaning. It's an ideology without ideas. So he says all this, but he doesn't offer any actual ideas that would orient a religion, an economic system, a political ideology, or a system of morality. We can further understand the problem with Johnson's thinking here via one of my favorite philosophers, Soren Kierkegaard, who once wrote that the thing is to find a truth which is true for me, to find the idea for which I am willing to live and die. Ideas or truths are what give our lives meaning. And when we're passionate about ideas, we're willing to live or die for them. And we're currently living in an era that is increasingly devoid of ideas. You know, we're served content and propaganda that usually just serve cold economic aims that aim at nothing other than, like, making money and not dying and staying distracted as the world burns around us. Yay. Back in the 19th century, Kierkegaard was already noting the effect that a culture of media and abstraction was having on folks. You know, he wrote that in this era, one no longer belongs to God, to himself, to his beloved, to his art, or to his science. He is conscious of belonging in all things to an abstraction, just as a serf belongs to an estate. This sort of abstraction describes the same sort of cold algorithmic logic we get in Johnson's don't die philosophy. Now, as Maya Wienekauer writes, on the surface, Johnson appears to be asking age-old questions about how to find the good life, but in practice, his activities boil down to Horkheimer's instrumental rationality, a meaningless striving toward longevity that never wonders whether an inhumanly long life is even worth pursuing. Now, in Johnson's defense, there is a contemporary philosopher who genuinely argues that we should be striving for immortality. But unlike Johnson's individualistic, biological conception of immortality, French philosopher Alain Badiou has something else in mind. For him, it's precisely when we commit ourselves to ideas and truths that are bigger than ourselves, when we bring ourselves into community with other humans, that we can transcend our animality and become immortal. Now, this doesn't mean that we physically live forever, but it does mean we can have our own don't die philosophy where we make our lives meaningful through participating in ideas and movements that will outlive us. And while Johnson might think that's what he's doing,
I want to be admired by the 25th century.
Honestly, it feels like it's just about his legacy.
Jesus delivered a don't die message.
Okay, so what does it actually look like to become immortal? You know, to find an idea for which you are willing to live or die. Okay, let's compare Brian Johnson to one of my favorite dead guys, John Brown. John Brown was an American abolitionist who was executed after leading an attempted slave rebellion at Harper's Ferry. But over 200 years after he was hanged for fighting against slavery, we still talk about John Brown, you know? People write songs about him. They made a TV show about him. Dudes have tattoos of him. And that's because Brown lived for ideas that transcended his individual existence. He participated in something bigger than himself. You know, Brown dedicated his entire life to the abolition of slavery. He was willing to live and die for that cause. But I don't think anyone's going to be comparing boner stats with their kids in 200 years to honor the legacy of Brian Johnson, because he's not living for any idea. You know, there's no substantial value or meaning to this whole philosophy of longevity. And even worse, people are tacitly buying into ideologies that are straight up anti-human, where markets and algorithms take precedent over our humanity. So what I'm really saying is, maybe we need less Brian Johnsons and more John Browns. Let me know what you think. Please do consider signing up for my Patreon. There's a link in the description to get videos early without ads and all that sort of stuff. I'll see you next time. Let's live forever, guys. In the world.